Turn to 1 Samuel. I'll be brief. 1 Samuel 14. And let me give you this little thought here. 1 Samuel 14, verse number 24. Assistants are tired of assisting. Maybe not here, but across the country, that's what we're seeing. They say, give me one word. What is one word, Brother Carl, that would describe American churches? And that's what I use. They're tired. The Bible calls them weary in well-doing. They're weary. And this is another word the Bible uses is distressed. That's what we are. We're distressed people. But there's something that's fixing to happen to a man named Jonathan. He's going to take his rod and he's going to dip it down in some honey. And he's going to bring the honey to his mouth. And the Bible says when he tastes the honey, something happens to him. Said his eyes are enlightened. That's our word. The Bible says in chapter 14, verse number 24, the men of Israel were, here's that word, distressed that day. For Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food unto evening, that I may be avenged of mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. And all they of the land came to a wood, and lo and behold, there was honey on the ground. And when the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped and got so heavy within that honey tree that the hive done got so heavy that it's just coming out on the ground. And the Bible said when the people came, the honey's dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father straightly charged the people with the oath. Wherefore, he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it into a honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and here's that word, and his eyes were enlightened. And then answered one of the Baptists and said, thy father straightly charged the people. Thy father straightly charged the people with our church covenant, with our bylaws, and said, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. The people's faint. Then said Jonathan, my father's troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes, here's that word, have been enlightened, because I tasted a little. Because I had tasted a little of this honey. How much more if happily the people had eaten freely today? How much, and let me just paraphrase here a little partaying language. What would you think if we just grabbed a spoon, all sat down beside this honey, and just ate us a little bit of it? Y'all wouldn't be distressed no more. Y'all wouldn't be faint anymore. If somehow this morning during this Sunday school devotion hour, if I can encourage you to take your spoon or to take your rod and maybe dip it down in that honey and bring it to your mouth, it'll change your life. It'll bring your marriage back together. It'll make you love your church. It'll make you love your preacher and his wife and all your leaders here. It'll make you love me. It'll make you love each other just by tasting a little of the honey. But how much more? What would happen this morning if we just got on down in that stuff? We come to the breakfast table in the mornings and my daddy would sit around the table. And I'd be over there eating corn flakes and Pop-Tarts and toaster strudels. Are y'all kids with me? Artificial. Preservatives. Added sugars. Nothing real about it. And my daddy's over there eating whole hog sausage, brown eggs, thick sliced bacon. See if y'all can understand this terminology. Cat head biscuits. And he was taking honey and he was pouring it in a bowl and putting butter in there. Now I can't believe it's not butter or promise or anything like that. I'm talking about that real stuff. Real salty and full of cholesterol. And put it in the microwave and began running that stuff together in the microwave. He brought it out and it was hot. And he'd take that biscuit and he'd do exactly what Jonathan's doing right here in this scripture. Well, he didn't have a rod, but he had a biscuit. And he'd take that biscuit and he'd run it down in that honey. I believe you old timers called it sopping. And he'd run that biscuit in that mouth. And he told me one morning, he said, "Carl, you're going to have to push aside all that artificial stuff. You're going to have to lay aside the Pop-Tart. When you going to grow up, boy, and eat a real breakfast?" And that morning I put that honey to my mouth. My eyes were enlightened. And it done something to me. I hadn't changed. What are you saying, Brother Carl? If I could ever encourage you this morning to take your rod, to take your Holy Ghost biscuit, and run it down in the goodness of God, and to put it to your lips, your eyes would be enlightened to the things of God. And you'd be encouraged this morning, on this rainy Sunday morning. You'd be encouraged. I got this message from Brother Ken and Brother Paul Hebert as a mixture. We was up at the couples retreat, and Brother Paul Hebert stood up, and he said the only thing he said was, "Hast thou found honey?" Do y'all remember that? That's all he said, and he sat down. And the Holy Ghost grabbed my heart and broke it open. Then Brother Ken got right up behind him and said, "I tell you what to keep you away from that honey. It's them need bees." And the Lord said, "There you go." And all across this country, we've been telling people that there's honey. You would be shocked at the people that are hungry. You'd be shocked at the preachers that are saying, "This is it for me. If something don't happen in this revival, I'm done." You'd be surprised at the laymen that used to be there last year in the revival, but now they're not there this year. And when you ask where they're at, well, they're gone, preacher, they're gone. They're not in church anymore. And if I could ever encourage you this morning, maybe even some here that's about to quit and about to give up, if you could just take that honey one more time. If you could just fall in an altar one more time. If you could just say, "I'm sorry," one more time. And take that rod and run it down in that honey and put it to your lips. Your eyes would be enlightened this morning. There's four need bees in the Bible. Four of them. King James has got four need bees in the Bible. You said need bees. What do you mean, Brother Carl? I'm talking about things that'll keep you away from the honey. Things that'll keep your eyes from being enlightened this morning. They're called bees. Called need bees in the Bible, but they're really called honey bees for sure, physically speaking. We ran out of honey one morning. Oh, I done got used to eating honey. Wasn't eating cornflakes anymore. I done tasted the real thing. And Daddy said, "We're out, son. We're out of honey." And I said, "That's wonderful, Dad. Let's just run down to the store and we'll get us some more." And he started taking duct tape and wrapping it around my sleeves. And he took duct tape and wrapped it around my neck. And he took duct tape and wrapped it around my waist. Duct tape works for anything, by the way, if anybody... I was in Alabama 5 years and it rubbed off on me. Put a hood on my head. We started making our way to those two little white things out there in the middle of the woods. Daddy said, "Boys, two things you're going to stay away from in the garden, number one, in the yard, number one's going to be the garden, and stay away from those two white things right under." You see, we didn't get the privilege of standing in the corner. We didn't have a timeout mat. We didn't get a cookie and juice. Daddy didn't know what restriction was. Oh no. When he said stay out of the garden, he meant it. He meant it. We started approaching those two white beehives and duct tape around this little boy. "I'm going to get my honey." And he started smoking. Are y'all with me? Y'all old timers know what I'm talking about. He started not smoking, but he started smoking. He started smoking those bees out with that big fan thing that he had, and them bees began to come out. And I remember the fear set up in my heart as a young boy when that black cloud arose. And they started landing on me. What are you saying, Brother Carl? Every once in a while, an old bee would find its way somehow through that duct tape, and I'd get stung. Boy, it hurt. But let me encourage you this morning. If you've ever had a taste of the honey, a few bee stings won't matter. Come on now, I'm in a Baptist church. I know I'm telling the truth. If you've ever had a taste of the realness of God, if you've ever took your rod at one time and run it down in that honey and brought it to your mouth and your eyes were enlightened to the things of God, a few bee stings down at the church won't matter. Bees would sting me. But I done had a taste. I done had a taste. It didn't get me on the neck, a tender spot on my neck. Boy, that didn't matter. I done got a taste. I took me a little shot of Benadryl and went on. And that's what you need to do this morning. Get you some Benadryl. Get you some Zyrtec, whatever it is you take. Get you a good dose of it. It might make you a little sleepy, but it'll help you to get over your bee sting. If you've ever run your rod down in that honey, heard a preacher say it like this. It takes, well, I studied this part. It takes a little honeybee. It takes a honeybee. I think it said like he'll make like 1,400 trips to a flower before he dies to find nectar. And pull that nectar. If he can't find the nectar, he'll travel up to 8 miles to find it. And he'll live an entire lifetime to make 1 tablespoon of honey. That's all they ever do. Yeah. Next time you dip that spoon down in there and get you a little teaspoon of honey right there, 1 little tablespoon, teaspoon of honey, you're holding in your hand. Think about it before you put it to your lips or rub it on your biscuit. You're holding the life's work. The finished work of one bee. Now I heard a preacher say this. She pressed through the crowd. She had a social problem. She wasn't allowed to come out of the house. She had an issue of blood. She had a relationship type problem because of she couldn't touch her husband. Her husband couldn't be with her. She had a domestic problem. She wasn't allowed to cook and clean. She had some problems. But she opened the front door. And she pressed through the crowd. And she reaches out and she touches the hem. The hem is the finished work of a garment. It's the last thing to be done on a garment. Ladies, you make a dress, last thing you're going to do is the hem. She reached out and she touched his finished work. And Jesus said, my goodness. Well, he didn't say my goodness. I just felt like saying that. Who touched me? And the disciples had a legitimate question. What do you mean, who touched you? There's people pressing all around you. Everybody's touching you. He said, oh, no, wait a minute. I feel the honey's come out of me. Virtue. The honey's just dripping out from under my garment. And somebody's done got a hold of my heart. And that goodness done began to leak out of him. And that lady touched his finished work. If you ever grab out and touch the finished work of Calvary, as Brother Mike's already prayed this morning, if you ever get a hold of the cross like it's intended, a few bee stings ain't going to matter down here. But sure as a world with a crowd like this, I know most of our problems lie within our ladies, and I'll preach to them when they get back home. No, I'm kidding. Surely out of a crowd like this, somebody's been stung this week. You've had you a little bee come down, pop that hand. And you're sitting here this morning with the weight of the world on your shoulders. You can't worship. You can't enjoy songs about Calvary. You can't enjoy even the message because the bee stung you and you done swollen up like this. You won't swallow any Holy Ghost Benadryl. And some of you got stung on the lip because you lip. Li- Somebody's done said something to your children and hurt your heart. Somebody's done told you that you can't go there and do that. And somebody's done jerked the job out from under you. And somebody's done told you you can't do this and you can't do that and your children shouldn't do that. And that bee done stung you one good time. And you're sitting here this morning and you can't even worship the God of heaven. The God of heaven. But if you've ever had a taste of the honey, it's your fault. If you've ever had your rod down in the honey, if you ever taste it, a few bee stings won't matter. One of the need bees that Brother Kim talked about was found in Matthew 18, where he talked about the need bee of offense. He said, "Woe unto this world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You're going to get stung. I know we've been told on the TVs that Christianity is nothing but just tiptoeing through the tulips and driving Cadillacs and living the high life and running through life on a cloud. It's not like that. You're going to have a hard time telling Paul that down in a prison cell with rats that long and starving to death. They that live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer. You're going to get stung. And it could be this morning that you're stung by the bee of offense. What do you mean, Brother Partey? The need be of offense. What could you possibly be talking about? Offense. Yeah. It's when you go down to Walmart and you see that lady that used to come here. And you say, "Where have you been, honey?" And she says, "Well, Brother Ken said something, and I've been..." Oh, yes! That's what I'm talking about. I've been offended. The word offense, it comes from a word scandalon, which is our word, scandalize. You ever been scandalized on down at the house of God? It's to trip. It means to trap. It means a stumbling block. And the devil will put them out. The devil will sit at the back door and try to get your mind off of the things of God. Try to get your mind off of, get your mind on football and deer hunting and who shot the biggest deer this year. And before you know it, you sit here and you swell up and you get mad and everything else matters but the church. And you can't wait till it's over so you can go home and not have to come back tonight. Woo! Boy, I feel like preaching this morning. I'm just getting down there where we live now. I've been offended. You know what you're saying? You're saying I was approaching the things of God. I was approaching the honey. I took my rod and I was about to dip it down in that honey, and something stung me. You was that close to coming over the mountain. You was that close to dipping that, taking your Holy Ghost biscuit and running it down in that honey. You was that close, and something stung you. And I know there's some righteous people in here that saying, "I know it. Them people just shouldn't be acting like that." You wait till Brother Ken has to get on to your kids. I promise you, business will pick up down at the house. You wait till your wife gets mad. Won't be none of that, "I can't believe they're acting like that." Oh no, it'll be at your house then. But if you've ever had a taste of the honey, stuff like that won't matter. Won't matter. the need be of a fence. Bees will keep you from the honey. Right in our scriptures. Bees keep you from the honey. You ever been offended? I would sit, Brother Ken, where I pastored, I sat on the stage. You know what I like about being here? Y'all don't care about time. I don't even have a watch. Isn't that wonderful? Nobody cares. We're supposed to be in Sunday school. Isn't that wonderful? I used to sit on the stage where I pastored over there in the corner. And I would literally sit there and the devil would get in my mind. In church! Well, Lord, there's bees all in the church. Somebody would get to talking over there and I'd get to looking at them. I know they mouthed my name. I seen. They said my name, Carl. I seen their lips go. And I'm sitting there fixing to burn up a message behind that pulpit. And the devil goes, they're talking about you. And I'd get my mind on them and I'd end up putting my Bible down. I'd get to watching and trying to read their lips. And I seen my name at least 20 times. I know I did. They're talking about you. They're fixing to get rid of you. They don't like you. And find out they'd end up to be talking about something totally different. And then one of them stand up at the end of the church service and say, we love our pastor. We was just sitting there talking. We need to give him a raise. And the devil's saying, they're fixing to get rid of you. They're talking about you, buddy. Huh? Right in the church service. Ladies are bad about it. Now listen, I'm not anti-woman. My mama was one. And I even married one. And there's five coming behind me. But women are bad about it. Women are bad. Women look at each other's shoes. Have you noticed that? I have watched women's eyes. The first thing that they do when another woman walks by is they go. They look at each other's shoes. That's why you're the reason. It's your fault that my wife's got a closet full of them. But women are bad. Oh, men are too. I'm not just on the women. They say, you know, telephone, telegram, tell a woman. But I had them in my church. I had them in my church. Somebody said I wish they'd go back to writing letters. I could catch up with a letter. But these telephones and internets, you can't catch up with them. And some people get offended before they even make it to church on Sunday. Because they've been on that telephone. Here's how it was in my church. I don't know about what way it was in here. I ain't been around long enough. I'm the most unfaithful church member you got. Besides Dana Williams, he never comes. He don't even come to the Christmas parties half the time. Here's how it works. I'll use Brother Mike and his wife. Here's how it normally works in the church. I'll say something, Brother Mike gets offended. Brother Mike gets offended about it. He's tore up. He can't sleep. He can't eat. He's mad because of something I said or done. I don't know it. He won't come tell me. I have no clue that he's mad. But here's what happens. He goes home and wife says, what's wrong with you? Ah, nothing. Did that preacher? Well, yeah, but I'm okay. Next thing you know, Brother Mike and his wife is mad. And I'm just using them now because I know them. You want me to switch to Brother Ken and Miss Renee? I'll do that. But this is how it works. Then the wife gets mad. And then all of a sudden the children are mad. They don't know why they're mad. They're just mad because mom and daddy's mad. And then the next thing you know, the wife gets on the phone with the mother. And now the mother's mad and all of her family at the preacher. Nobody knows why and the preacher don't know why. But half of the church is mad now because they're kin to the one that went home pouting. Ain't got enough guts to go to the preacher. and sit down out in the chapel down there and say, look, I've got a problem. And therefore, they harvest it and they keep it and they keep it up. The whole family, all 20 of them get mad. And the next thing you know, everybody in the church, half of them's mad and nobody knows why. Nobody knows why. Biggest problem I had in the Baptist church pastoring was the lack of communication. Nobody would tell me she was in the hospital. Nobody told me little Johnny had a stuffy nose. And then they stand and testify about it. Well, I was in the hospital all week. Well, the preacher didn't come see me, but you know, I'm all right. Lord spared me. Have you ever wondered if the preacher knew it? Well, am I going to lose my support? Oh, Lord. The need be of offense. I've been offended. I've been offended. But there's good news about this. There's good news. If you'll ever take your rod. Things will change. Things will change. The word enlighten, it means to gleam. It means to glitter. It don't have anything to do with eyes that are dull and people that are down. It's the idea of your eyes gleaming and glittering because you've tasted the goodness of God. Well, oh, I can't get all these B's. Can I cover it just one more? One more. In Romans, there's a need be of subjection. It's in there. It's in there. Romans chapter 12 or 13. It's the chapter on government, civil government, the law. I'm not subject to the law. Oh yeah, you are. There's signs out there all day long today that you're going to pass that says you can't turn here. You can't. You turn here. You've got to stop here. And here's the line you stop at. And this means stop, this means go. You have rules and regulations all day long. It's called human, it's called civil government. And you respect it. Matter of fact, it's built in. I don't know if anybody told you that or not, but it is built into you. You have a respect for it. Let me give you an example. You come over that hill, it don't matter if you're speeding or not. If you see somebody in a cop car, your automatic reaction is, you know what that is? That's saying, I respect it. I respect it. I got pulled over in Tallapoosa. Yep, Tallapoosa. One red light. Burger Chick, Shell Station. Trying to work on a CVS pharmacy. One cop. And he got me. He come out of that car. I had been to church, me and my dad. I preached a revival on the other side of Atlanta. We were coming home this way, and I had my Bible on the dash. It didn't work. Where you been? I said, I've been to church. I'm a preacher. This is my dad. Don't you know him? Earl Partain, you've heard of him? He come back. He said, sign right here, preacher. You got yourself a ticket. You know what I should have done when I got that ticket? I should have took the keys to that car. Just threw them out on the road. Looked back and told my family, y'all get out. We're walking the rest of the way home. That's what I should have done. That's what I should have done. Popped all four tires and left her on the side of the road. Let them haul it off. He gave me a ticket. But I've done the right thing. I've done what everybody's supposed to do. Call Joe D's and see if he can get you out of it. Hey. I should have walked home. But I didn't. I put that key right back in there. Vroom, and drove all the way to Cedartown. What'd you do that for, Brother Carl? Because I have a built-in respect for civil human government. But let the man of God get up behind the pulpit and open it and say, "Thus saith the Lord." You know what you'll do? You'll take those same car keys, you'll put them in your chest of drawers at the house, and you won't come back for a few Sundays. You know why? It's called the need be of subjection. And been a lot of folks stung by the need be of subjection. It's why we have churches every half a mile in the state of Georgia. It's because people have a problem with authority. It's been that way all of our Baptist history. It's why you got churches everywhere. And they're in the same parking lot in Alabama. I'm telling you, you go through Rock Mills, Alabama, there's two churches sitting in the same parking lot. And if one builds a playground, the other one builds a playground. And if one has one preacher, the other one has another preacher. In constant battle. Because people have problems with authority. Got good news though. Boy, I've preached a long time. And I don't care. And you don't care. Got good news though. If you ever get a taste of the honey. I'm telling you. If you ever get a taste of the honey, you won't mind.
No, sir.
You won't mind coming down.
You're right.
You won't mind kneeling and respecting authority.
You're right.
You won't mind humbling yourself because that honey's so good. Matter of fact, you'd run on the ground and get down there.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I don't have a problem with that. I have so much respect for my pastor right now. If he was to stand up and say, "That's enough, Brother Carl, sit down," you'd not hear another peep come out of my mouth. I heard Dr. Bagwell say it like this. He said, "If something ever rises in the church, best thing you can do is stay with the man of God. Don't start them little living room experiences and off-campus Bible studies and then thinking you start knowing more than the preacher does." Statistics say that 90% of churches are split, listen to this, by young preachers. Young preachers who all of a sudden think that they know more than Brother Kim does because their mama told them that they did. Huh? As Brother Dean says, you're not going to learn anything about parting water until you learn something about pouring water. Might need to get down and wash the man of God's feet before he's going to use you. Might need to learn what it's like to hold a coat every once in a while. Or see if they got water. Or see if he has enough gum and that Germex stuff down there on his table. You might have to do that for several years before the Lord opens the door for you. It's the need be of subjection. Oh, the need be of heaviness, 1 Peter. You'll find that. Need be of heaviness. He said, if need be, you're in heaviness. That's the word to describe the local church. They're heavy. But King James outlined itself. They're heavy through manifold temptations. You know what that word manifold means? Manifold meaning many. A lot of. Temptation simply meaning tests, trials. Can I say it like this and be respectful of the King James Bible? You're heavy. You're weary. You're distressed because you've been through a lot of tests. A lot of things has come into the house. A lot of things has come in on you. And you're heavy. You're weighed down. Manifold temptations. That's the definition. Are you like that this morning? You weighed down, weight of the world on your shoulders, don't know where your children's at, you tried to raise them right and don't even know where they're at this morning. Finances has got you down. Things within the family. Why is it we always fuss on Sunday morning on the way to church? Now me and my wife actually held hands this morning on the way to church. Man, that's wonderful. They liable to be another partying baby before too long. Hey, the Bible said to add to the church. We're trying our best. Be fruitful and multiply. I just took it as a personal responsibility. But we come to church with the weight of the world on our shoulders. We're heavy. But we're heavy through it. A lot of temptations come in on us. It's the need be of heaviness. But let me give you some encouraging news this morning. If you've ever had a taste of the honey, heaviness won't seem near as heavy.
I tell you, the only thing that scares me more than a tongue